Since the love of God is not extended to us by the good we do, it will not turn from us by the bad we do. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What an inspiring statement that is in Romans 8, 35-39. It is a response to the question, who can separate us from the God who loves us? And the answer of 99 words can be summarized in one word, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that's the basis for our Christian assurance. The text recognizes a possible problem, however. It is possible that under certain circumstances, certain spiritual enemies might cause us to think that God loves us no longer. Therefore, a long list of physical suffering and spiritual forces is enumerated to set our hearts at ease and to strengthen our faith. The Christian is not to be dismayed when difficulties arise in the physical and material areas of life. Jesus warned that it would be so, saying, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Occasionally, the troubles of the Christians become very severe. Romans 8:36 quotes Psalm 44:22 as saying, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 40, recounts the physical abuse and sufferings of the saints of God in ancient times as cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonments, stoning, destitution, affliction, torment, and kindred sufferings. Now, such afflictions in the flesh may cause a person to wonder if God loves him no longer. And Satan will tempt him to think that he would not suffer so if God still loved him. All such temptations must be conquered. The love of God is not measured by our circumstances, but by our redemption. He loved us enough to give his only begotten Son to death for us. How could we ever doubt such a love? You will notice that victory over sufferings must be enjoyed by faith. And so Paul writes, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Notice that we're conquerors in all these things. It does not say we conquer by escaping trouble, but we're conquerors in the midst of trouble. Daniel did not escape the trauma of being cast into the den of lions, but he did enjoy protection in the den of lions. Hear the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Concerning sufferings, he wrote, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." And yet concerning victory, he wrote, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." There was no question in the mind of Paul whether God loved him, even in the midst of his trials. So he writes, "Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." 7 types of physical sufferings are listed in Romans 8:35. They're representative of any and every type of trial which can come in the area of physical life. They include outward affliction, inward oppression and torment, pressure with intent to harm, hunger for food, not enough clothing for necessary uses, danger and jeopardy, and threat to life of violence which destroys peace. The list includes all those hardships and sufferings which might make a person doubt that God continues to love him. Then Paul turned to spiritual enemies in verses 38 and 39. The mention of death and life includes all things in the realm of existence and all of its circumstances. The conclusion is, they cannot separate us from the love of God. Then attention is given to beings and powers of spiritual existence, fallen angels, demons inhabiting the earth. The forces of strength are listed. The conclusion is that they cannot separate us from the love of God. Then attention is turned to the elements of time, things present and things to come. Next, attention is turned to the elements of space, height and depth. And lest there be any other being or power in the whole realm of existence, the summary statement, nor any other creature, is added. The studied conclusion is that none of those enemies can separate us from the love of God. Why can no force separate us from the love of God? Because of the nature of the love of God. God's love is agape. It is love which is extended because of need, not because of merit. It is love which delights to lift, to give, to save, to serve, not to get personal benefit for itself. Now, since the love of God is not extended to us by the good we do, it will not be taken from us by the bad we do. If God loved only good people, He could never have loved sinners and given His only begotten Son for them to die. I like this little statement by the poet who wrote, "Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes Him very sad." And another wrote, "Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." How can one be sure that trials and even our failures do not turn the love of God from us? Because the Bible says so. Paul declared that he was persuaded that nothing in this world or beyond shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Persuaded means to come to a settled conclusion through a process of reasoning over the evidence. I too am persuaded, as was Paul, that God's love toward us is unconditional and unending. And so we come to the end of our review of reasons for assurance as recorded in Romans 8, 35 to 39. We have seen five questions asked which stated five great truths. First, who can overcome us when God stands in our place? Teaches that God substitutes Himself for us. Second, who can deprive us when God's resources are available to us? Teaches that God provides for us. Third, who can judge us guilty when God declares us just? Teaches that God justifies us. Fourth, who can condemn us when Christ is interceding for us? Teaches us that God receives the intercession of Christ on our behalf. And fifth, who can separate us from the God who loves us? Teaches that God loves us unconditionally and eternity. And that is the fivefold foundation of Christian assurance. Father, we have assured our hearts before You as we have reviewed these great truths of Holy Scripture. We rejoice to know that these truths are as valid today as when they were first written by divine inspiration. And so we rest assured in Your grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.